Coming to you from an underground bar in coastal South Alabama, I'm your host Roy.
And I'm your host Ben.
And these are sea stories from the Coast Watchers Club, where we chat with you about tiki culture and history, bars, drinks, music, and movies, anything related to Polynesian pop.
Welcome back to Sea Stories from the Coast Watchers Club. This week we are discussing the story of the Coast Watchers Club, my home tiki bar that I started building about 3 years ago. We'll visit Trader Roy's end of the bar. We'll talk about a cocktail this week, a special cocktail for the Coast Watchers Club. We'll discuss our locations in the Mobile Bay area where we both like to open up a tiki bar. So Roy, what you been up to since the last time we spoke and recorded an episode?
Well, staying pretty busy, as it's been, 3 weeks since we put the last episode out. And by the way, thanks to everybody who did tune in and listen to the first episode. If you haven't, do it now. But yeah, been, like I said, staying busy with bar stuff. We did a really cool tiki pop-up in New Orleans at my buddy Ben's bar. He's the beverage director at the Elysian Bar in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And we did a low ABV tiki pop-up that you came to.
It was
and half of our regulars as well, you know.
It was a lot of familiar faces.
It absolutely was. It was pretty heartening to see all those familiar faces. But me and Marshall and Tasha from the Haberdasher all took off over there, and we did six drinks of our own that were kind of like low-ish ABV tiki drinks. It went really well. We surprised their staff with a whole bunch of Mobile people, and we had a good turnout from New Orleans folks as well.
So. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, there was a bunch of... I met a few people that were staying at the hotel, which another thing, we got to stay at the hotel, which is the Hotel Peter Paul.
Yeah, fantastic property. Yeah,
amazing hotel. Yeah. Pretty cool concept they have there. But yeah, the bar was amazing. The drinks, by the way, great.
It was nice to have
six drinks and not be like totally obliterated.
You mean 12 drinks, two of each?
Yeah, exactly. It was about that. It was almost
there. Yeah, we worked really hard on it. And so Elysian Bar, just for a little backstory for anybody that's not familiar, they do a lot with lower ABV ingredients like fortified wines and sherries and vermouths and liqueurs, and they have a fully stocked bar of spirits as well, of course, but their kind of specialty is lower ABV, lower proof cocktails. And so when Ben, shout out Ben, other Ben H.
Yeah, Ben H.
Yeah.
A couple Ben H's.
A little Seinfeld moment. He's the New Orleans Ben H. When he approached me and Tasha about it, he was like, we want to do your tiki thing over here, but we want it to kind of like be in step with our typical programming. So, as you know, everybody probably knows, tiki is typically not low ABV.
It's usually
quite the opposite. So, it was a fun challenge to work with those ingredients and try to come up with something. Things that fit that bill.
And like, I actually tried a couple of their drinks too. I had the Creole cocktail,
which,
man, they put it just enough like rye whiskey in there that
you
can really get a little bit of that, but just the overall taste of that drink and it, like the name Creole cocktail is like perfect because when you're drinking it, you're like, this is a Creole cocktail.
They definitely excel at the classics for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that went really well. We went to, took the crew to Latitude 29 the next day while we were there. Marshall had never been, so that was cool to get to introduce somebody to the Tiki Bar in New Orleans. We actually ran into a couple of folks from Phoenix at Aaron Rose. She was Dee from Phoenix. What's up, Dee? Was there to be a CAP, which is Cocktail Apprentice Program for Tales of the Cocktail, which is happening while we're recording this week.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was this week.
Yeah, so they're the ones that make all the batched cocktails for all the seminars, and usually it's several cocktails per seminar. So they put those guys through the ringer. So,
I bet.
So we kind of like our groups merged to form one big bar group, and we went to Latitude 29 and had a great time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Miss Anine that was there, Mrs. Bum, and she did up Judas Wright, gave us a little sneak preview of a drink on their brand new menu, which they put out this week. It was a pandan painkiller, and it was awesome. Oh, it was good. Yeah. So that menu is live now, so there's a reason to go back to New Orleans as soon as possible.
For sure. Yeah, I hate I missed staying the extra night, but I had a conference, which is another reason why we had to skip 2 weeks before we recorded another episode, because I was at a conference in Dallas. And when you leave work for a week, when you come back, even though you were at a work conference, I still had a bunch of work to do. So driving over Tuesday night and then coming back first thing Wednesday morning was, I had to do it, but it was fun. It was definitely worth doing that to come over for that Tiki Pop-Up.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, glad I got to make it.
So on the last episode, we talked about what got both of us into Tiki, and, you know, we hinted at our own Tiki bars, or we talked a little bit about yours specifically, but maybe we could dive a little deeper into the Coast Watchers Club.
Yeah, that's where we record the sessions and everything. And for most of my adult life, I was a rugby player, and that was like my number one hobby. I put all my time and effort into it. I was, you know, an officer for the club, the Battleship Rugby Club here in Mobile. I was either social chairman, was vice president, sometimes treasurer, sometimes all of it, and then eventually became president and chairman of when we put together a rugby foundation, which we started doing youth rugby and different things like that. But then kind of got into 2018-19, I was kind of overplaying for the A side. You know, the young guys were just a little too much to keep up with. Yeah. And so I was mainly only playing old boys rugby. And playing old boys rugby, I was up in Canada and tore my Achilles tendon, which was actually my second Achilles injury. Different legs. So both Achilles have pretty much been torn. One surgically on purpose, and then to keep it from getting worse. And
right.
Another one was just a complete snap. So that was kind of put me on my ass, and I was like, okay, now what am I going to do? I got all this time, and I have the most random basement in South Alabama, which, you know, most people don't have. And coming from the Midwest originally, everybody had a basement. So, you know, coming down here, that was one thing I always missed, was like having a basement.
Yeah, so, I think just like your house is now, the only time you find a basement around here is if a house is on a very steep hill. I used to live in Hillsdale, which was the student housing at the University of South Alabama. And we lived on a ridiculously steep hill, so I had a basement. It wasn't finished like this. You actually have, like, doors and infrastructure and whatnot.
Yeah.
Mine was just a, you know, area below the house. But we used to have, like, punk rock shows and stuff down there.
Awesome.
Halloween parties and all this good stuff.
Heck yeah.
And other stuff I probably shouldn't say on a podcast. But,
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, having this down here, my first go at it was just having kind of painting it. Actually, the guy I bought the house from, or that had it before me, he had his whole collection of Matchbox cars down here. And when I toured the house the first time to buy it, it was full of Matchbox cars, like everywhere you could see. But I came here and they were all gone. But there's huge mirrors on the back wall. It was pretty bad. So I had a friend
mirrors?
Of mine. Yeah, that whole wall was mirrors.
What do mirrors have to do with Matchbox?
I think
cars?
Just made it look like he had more.
Right.
And
okay.
So
I didn't know if there was some sort of weird R-rated thing going on down here.
No,
the mirrors and the match cars.
There may have been.
People are in there some weird shit.
I hope not. I did see a little orb over there when I was down here by myself earlier. So maybe there was some weird stuff going down here. Anyway, I had a buddy of mine, shout out to Mark Naylor, a.k.a. Weeble. One of my rugby buddies, he's a contractor. He came in and basically spruced the place up, put in these nice cabinets that he had taken out of somebody's house, you know, in a reno. And so after he did all that, I sat down here and I had all my sports memorabilia put up, and I kind of sat around and I was like, yeah, this isn't that fun. Yeah. My friends, like, they're like, we don't want to come down and look at your Cincinnati stuff. Where's all the Alabama?
Right.
Where's all the Crimson Tide stuff?
Sure.
I decided, you know, I wanted to do something that would kind of draw more people in, draw my friends that want to come over and have a drink weeknights or anytime, and, you know, have parties for friends. Like, we've had some surprise birthday parties here and stuff like that. So I was actually on a work trip and I was bored in a hotel room watching YouTube, and there was a podcast, and the guy that was being interviewed was Trader Brandon, and he's the one who designed Trader Sam's at both Disneyland and Disney World.
Right.
And yeah, I think a lot of people, not necessarily us, but a lot of people in the Tiki community did get their start, like, when visiting Disney World and seeing, like, the Tiki Room. and, you know, seeing all that stuff, and they're like, man, this is awesome.
Sure.
And then you go to a tiki bar, and they're like, oh, it's kind of the same thing, but there's alcohol here, too, you know?
Yeah, so, right.
That's what, you know, that was one of the things, and he has a cool story. He was working for Disney Imagineering. He, I think I know what that is. I think that's my buddy.
Is that your lawn guy?
I think it's my lawn guy in the back. So if anybody hears anything in the background, it's my lawn guy.
Doing some weed whacking in the tool shed?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so Trader Brandon was an Imagineer at Disney. Then something came across his table, and it was Trader Sam's, and it was a like tropical tiki bar that they were going to put in at Disneyland. And he said he was actually a former, for anybody that's been to Disney World or Disneyland, the Jungle Cruise skipper, which, you know, is kind of like improv comedy.
Right.
They do have a script they go by, but they get to choose and pick and choose, and they can come up with new ones as well. So he had a lot of history with the Jungle Cruise. And so Trader Sam's bar was, concept was, it was the Jungle Skipper's bar that they hung out at. And so actually all the bartenders are called skippers, and it was a pretty cool concept, and he jumped on the opportunity to be the decorator. And so he, in this podcast, he goes in how he decorated, what he decided, you know, to do with all of it. And if you've ever heard of him or heard it, there's so many references in there, like to just random movies that he loves. And he said there's more references that he even like that he didn't have a book or anything where he wrote them down. So sometimes he'll remember a random reference.
Wow.
So one of the things that he talked about was like when you're building a tiki bar is to like have a story to go along with it. And that was when I started, that was kind of the first thing that I thought of was, okay, I want a story to go behind the bar. And then the other thing he basically said was shop estate sales, garage sales, and eBay. And so that's what I started doing like immediately. My first purchase was this trunk, and it was $25 on Craigslist. Bought it from a guy in Westmobile, like went and picked it up that day.
Awesome looking trunk. Obviously the listeners can't see, but it's like a classic treasure chest style trunk, like a seafarer would have back in the day.
But it doesn't look brand new at all.
No,
it looks
it's got like a great patina
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I was like, are you really selling this for $25? And he's like, yeah, man. He's like, it wasn't mine. It was like my grandmother's. And
it's did you offer him 20?
I think I was like, hey, man, you want 25? Here you go. Yeah, you got it. Then I hit up a few antique stores in Daphne, which, I've heard that Jeff Beach Bum Barry comes over and he's gotten some stuff from it that I passed over because I didn't think it was Polynesian.
Right.
Which was, I kind of kicked myself for that. But so then I started kind of making notes and writing things down. And I actually have my first moleskin little journal here that I took notes in. And so the first thing I did was write down the music that I wanted to play at my bar, because that was like, my number one thing. And it was basically all the songs that they play at the Polynesian Resort at Disney World, which like then I think a few of those made my playlist, but not many.
I guarantee somebody's put together a Polynesian Resort playlist on Spotify or YouTube.
I got it off of YouTube, actually. Yeah, right. I think so.
What a world we live in.
Yeah, and I started like coming up with names, and Adventure Club and Outpost, like Hobie's or Big Ben's, was the only thing I came up with.
Yeah.
I did not like either of those names. And then I started coming up with drinks. And my first one was The Mariner's Revenge, which is a song by the Decemberists. That's on my tiki playlist. It's definitely more nautical than tiki. But if you've ever heard the song, go look it up on Amazon Music or Apple Music, whatever your platform is, Spotify. It is a hilarious song. It's not hilarious. It's actually kind of sad, but it is just, it sounds like an old nautical song, and it tells a whole story. It's really
okay.
Great.
Is it like a sea shanty kind
of
thing?
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit, but it's done very well. And then, so that was, I don't even have like ounces on here. I just have shot, and it was one shot of mango rum, one shot of tropical punch vodka, half a shot of herring's cherry, blood orange juice, and pomegranate juice. No measurements, just and that was actually leftover stuff that people had left at my house after Christmas parties. The mango rum and the tropical punch vodka. Like, I think it was in my freezer, and I was like, oh, I'll just use this. That's all I got. So
I'm reserving judgment right now.
And it was pretty good.
I bet it was. Bad. It sounds like a decent, like, boat drink.
Yeah.
Not really a tiki drink.
Not really a tiki drink. Nice. It was definitely, like, out on the beach, it would have been amazing.
Yeah.
The next one
Maybe that should be a future episode discussion, boat drinks versus tiki drinks.
Yeah,
that'd be a good one.
I'll call Jimmy Buffett and see if we can use his boat drinks.
I'm sure he won't mind. That guy's got more money than God,
I think they're opening up like 5 Margaritaville hotels.
Maybe a cease and desist from Jimmy Buffett would also increase our...
Give our cred.
Give us a little bit of cred, you know?
Yeah, we'll try that. So another drink idea I came up with was Hemingway's Hangover. Now, this is all like before I got into tiki, like kind of understood what tiki drinks were.
Yeah.
So it was a Hemingway daiquiri with orange juice.
Okay.
That was it.
Hemingway Hangover, I mean, that's essentially what a death in the afternoon is.
Yeah.
You know, or just name-wise, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah. And like I said, the Hemingway's Hangover was, it was kind of like, well, if you're having a hangover, you don't really want like a full strong daiquiri. Well, just dilute it with orange juice. And it's kind of breakfast, you know.
That's the opposite of what Hemingway would do, from what I understand.
That's true. That's true. And then the next one is Dr. Nielsen's Elixir. This one I came up. Do you get any kind of Dr. Nielsen?
Nope.
So he was
over my head.
He's the singer of... You put the lime in the coconut.
Oh.
I think it's Nielsen. Is that how you say it?
Harry Nielsen?
Harry Nielsen, yeah. And so I put Dr. Nielsen's Elixir, and it's plantation pineapple rum, coconut cream, and lime juice. I never even tried to put it together, so I don't know what it tastes like. I may try it one day.
An on-paper only drink?
Yeah. Maybe like a lime cordial might be better. I don't know. I may try it one day, see what it tastes like. And then my last one, which I still want to try to make because I love Vietnamese coffee.
Yeah,
which
sure.
is, you know, basically iced coffee with sweetened condensed milk.
Right.
So I was just going to add rum to it. And so back then, you know, I knew that kind of pirates, and I didn't think Pirates of the Caribbean weren't a bad thing to put in a tiki bar, but now I know it's kind of like frowned upon.
Yeah, you know.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. And so I had Captain Fang's coffee, which he was the captain where they first start off. And so that was the name of the character. So it was kind of like his breakfast would be a coffee with rum. So
Vietnamese coffee specifically?
Yeah, yeah.
I love coffee with rum. I think rum works with coffee way better than whiskey, which is what like everybody thinks about when they think about like whiskey, coffee cocktails. I think rum works way better.
Especially, we still need to try that Fiji rum that I got, that Ratu in coffee.
Oh, yeah.
I still need to put that. Well, that might actually be the rum I put in this.
Coffee shows up in a lot of tiki drinks throughout tiki cocktail history, but some of the notable ones would be Don the Beachcomber had his coffee grog.
Yeah.
Which, off of the top of my head, I'm not going to remember everything, but it's kind of a brûlée drink. You pour flaming... overproof rum over lemon and lemon and orange peel, and with coffee and spices, and I think there's butter in it as well.
Yeah,
it sounds real decadent and real great. I've never tried it myself, but
it would be it's a process, it seems like, to make one.
Oh, absolutely. And that's kind of the fun of it, but you know, I'll wait till one of the 1 or 2 months of winter that we get here to try that.
Yeah, maybe we'll try that on one of the shows.
There we go. That's perfect.
So another so then I kind of got on to decoration ideas, and this is where I kind of, you know, I kind of hit my mark here with being more, I want it to be more of like a navy nautical bar with like a tiki aspect.
Sure.
In it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look that way now, but I think eventually once I get everything on the walls that I want to, so I do have some aluminum and actually, a print from when the USS Cincinnati, was christened here in Mobile at Austell. So I'm going to have those kind of like framed and put together. And then when I was kind of doing the whole Adventurers Club kind of theme, maybe I was going to do, a telegraph with a message, with a clip, with a quote from the Mariner's Revenge song. And then it was like a handwritten note from a sailor, tiki lamps, which I need a lot of stuff on the ceiling. My sister was going to paint a mural on the bar. Sarah?
Yeah.
If you're listening. The bar still hasn't been painted.
Yeah, it's naked as can be.
She's going to be mad about that. I did this one. I did a Hemingway Photoshop. So I Photoshopped myself over there in a picture with Hemingway holding up a huge marlin. So it looks like I went fishing with him.
No shit. I have not noticed that.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's another thing. I have everything, but I just haven't put it up, is a porthole with a video. Like, we've talked about this a bunch. I'm still just trying to figure out how to put it all together.
Yeah.
And then that was pretty much it on my notes. And I actually have podcast notes here.
No kidding.
That long ago. I had a podcast idea. The names I'm not going to say because they're very like Tiki Outpost, Talking Tiki, Gulf Coast Tiki Guys.
I'm not going to say it, but then I'm going to say it.
Yeah. Well, you're already here. It's nothing bad. It's just
3 years in the making, and we still haven't figured this shit out.
Yeah. I didn't want anybody to think it was bad. It was just, like, cheesy.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And then I had, like, you and Tasha until I figured out Tasha doesn't really like tiki bars. and then Allison.
A little slander there.
Well, I think I even asked her. I was like, do you want to be a co-host on the podcast? She goes, I kind of don't like tiki bars.
Yeah, I think she likes the bars. She's not a big fan of most tiki drinks.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
I think she loves the bar and the aesthetic and all that kind of stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. And then I was originally thinking about our friend Allison Shepherd, who's she actually wrote our article
for us
when we first started. The idea of this podcast, she put something together for the Lagniappe, which is a local kind of underground mobile newspaper type deal. And so I actually have her down here as a guest, which she should be soon.
Sure.
She's definitely shown interest. Our friend Odia, who owns the Haberdasher, who is now in South Africa, so we won't see him for a while. Escambia Spirits, which I believe that's the distillery in kind of central Alabama.
Big Escambia is it's just right up the street in Atmore.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So that's who makes Detling.
Detling. Okay.
Yeah, Detling whiskey.
And then I had some other guys like Trader Brandon and another guy in Orlando area, Typhoon Tommy, who does a lot of decorating and tiki bars and stuff like that. There's the guys who I eventually hope to want to get on the podcast someday. So hopefully we'll get them on here sometime. And then, so my first kind of idea was to have the bar be an adventurers club type deal. Like I've always been interested in the Explorers Club in like New York. And
right.
I think there's one in LA too.
Yep.
And I remember when I was like in high school and college, like looking on their website and be like, how can I like become a member? Like, what do I need to do? And I was like, well, a student at South Alabama probably isn't going to be any kind of explorer or anything. And, I think I had already stopped my marine biology career.
You got to pack your trunk and get on a steamship.
Yeah, exactly.
Start exploring the South Seas, my friend.
Well, I thought like marine biology might be the way to go, but of course, so did it, like half the country. You know, our generation, everybody was going to be a marine biologist.
Yeah, what was with that? Why? What was it? Free Willy? Like what?
I don't know.
What the hell?
See, my thing was sharks.
You're right. Everybody wanted to be a marine biologist when I was in school.
Yeah. My thing was sharks. I wanted to like great white sharks. I love great white sharks.
I went through a big shark phase as well.
Yeah. I mean, I had books I would read about shark. I mean, I had.
Yeah. Same.
And so, I actually, in high school, I went to the Dolphin Island Sea Lab and took their summer, like, high school course.
Yeah.
And it was course credit, and you were there for a month. You stayed, like, and they had kind of have dorms there.
Yep.
It was awesome. But then, when I got to college, I think I had to have a chemistry minor to major in just regular biology, and then, try to do a concentration during the summer in marine biology down at the... And so I think after my sophomore year, I was like, this marketing class looks pretty easy. So I definitely made the switch.
I was also interested in biology for a while. And once I kind of realized that there's a lot of math and math courses involved, I'm terrible at that.
Yeah.
I was like, yep, can't do it.
Yeah, mine was chemistry.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know what all these elements are.
I barely passed high school chemistry, like barely.
Yeah. So going back to what my first idea was to be an adventurers club, and that's based off of the adventurers club that was at Pleasure Island, which is now Disney Springs at Walt Disney World. There is this adult club that was, it was a couple of different bars. They had tiki type drinks there, but it was all improv show. And they had officers of the club that every night they would like put on a show. There is this guy, his name was Colonel Critchlow, and it was a cable move, like a huge puppet, like in the middle of the main room. And he was like the glee club president. And so he would sing songs, and one of them was, it's like the beer song, and it go through do re mi fa so or whatever. Uh-huh. And he like has a thing like do, what I buy my beer with or something like that. And then like everything has something to do with beer, and it's hilarious. And if you're interested, just go on YouTube and type in Adventurers Club, and you'll see they'll have a lot of people recorded a bunch of clips from that. But they just had great shows. You can see those on YouTube if anybody's interested. So I kind of wanted to like base kind of the bar on that, like not have. So I like bought some things, like that parrot up there says a few things.
Right.
I have this pirate like it's a skull and crossbones, and it talks to you. It'll repeat what you say. No, it tells pirate jokes. The parrot will repeat what you say.
Okay.
And so I kind of had these, like, I wanted to put these things on the wall. I wanted to do like a soundboard where like somebody like, ordered a drink, I would like hit a soundboard.
Yeah.
And, like, it was like
real interactive experience.
Well, yeah. I just have no engineering capability whatsoever to do
really
all
ambitious.
That. So that fell to the wayside. And I kind of like landed on this, kind of like a Navy concept. And so how I did that was I was Googling one night, and one of my favorite movies is Donovan's Reef. I have a huge movie poster from the 60s here on the wall. And it's a John Wayne movie. And I watched it all the time as a kid whenever it came on TV, which is a lot. I was like, maybe I should. I kind of like that concept of like Navy guys living at the island where they were rescued by local islanders and they stayed there. And one of them was a doctor, and he became the doctor of the island and all this stuff. And so I started looking into what local islanders were doing in World War II and how they, if they participated in any of the war at all. And so I came across the Coast Watchers. And so the Coast Watchers were like 400, a group of like 400 people. It was Australian officers, New Zealand servicemen, and then local islanders. And then whenever they would kind of save a prisoner of war from the Allied, forces, they would also come on and like kind of join their crew until they were, went back to their group.
Right.
And so that was kind of my base where I started off. I did some research on them, and I was like, okay, how can I tie that into a home tiki bar? And so that's where I came up with the Coast Watchers Club. So like the concept is this is a club where like the local islanders and the servicemen from Australia and New Zealand, or there were some U.S. servicemen there too, could get together, because the concept was, there was an officer's club on most bases, but not everybody was invited.
Yeah, enlisted men. Yeah.
And so these Coast Watcher stations were on like Fiji, Solomon Islands, all the different islands. There was a station, I think there was 12 of them. And so my concept, my backstory was, the Coast Watchers Club was the local islanders, like that were part of the Coast Watchers, and these officers getting together, and like that was where they like did R&R, where they blew off steam after when they weren't on watch or whatever.
Sure, throw a few pints back.
Yeah. So
whatever the case may be,
and like I actually have the whole backstory on our website, which is coastwatchersclub.com. If anybody wants to go on there and read it.
Please do.
Yeah. And there's actually some photos of the actual, Coast Watchers there. One of the most popular things that they did was they were responsible for the saving of JFK and 10 of his fellow crew members. They were on the PT boat and were one of the Coast Watchers observed the boat just getting rammed by a Japanese destroyer and basically just demolished.
Capsized. Sure.
Yeah. So, like, the U.S. Navy they gave up on the crew because they thought they were all gone. And two guys, Byuku Gasa and Aroni Kumana, I probably like butchered their names, but they were dispatched in a canoe to go search for any survivors. And they found JFK and 10 other members of his crew on an island. And they didn't have any paper to write a message or anything. So Kennedy actually scratched a message on a coconut and gave it to the two guys, the two scouts. And they paddled 38 miles through Japanese waters, Japanese held waters.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And to deliver it to the U.S. command.
No kidding. Yeah, this is a real story.
This is a true story.
True story. Right.
So about half of the backstory is a true story.
Yeah.
And then the rest is, that's where I stop and kind of make up the Coast Watchers Club. Another cool aspect is that I found on eBay this pith helmet that was actually from somebody on a PT boat. And so it has his name on the inside. It's very like you can barely tell. And then I did some research and I found a similar name on a PT boat's kind of enlisted.
Like
name.
A roster.
Yeah, a roster. And so I'm guessing that this was the guy, like that was the guy's helmet. So
that's
I made him the founder of the Coast Watch.
Excellent.
He actually founded it in Fiji. He was stationed in Fiji after he was rescued. Now, again, this is all made up. After he was rescued and taken prisoner, he was then found by Fijians and became a coast watcher there in Fiji. And then him and the local Fijian guys put together the coast watch and founded the first one. So, and Fiji is a big part of, like, my bar because I went there in 2019.
Yeah, you've got a little, like, personal connection.
Yeah, for a rugby tournament. So, if I talk about Fiji a lot, it's because, that was one of the best trips of my life. It was so much fun. So, then talk about basically how the Coast Watcher Club became about, like, came here was, like, how any tiki bar was made in the 60s after the war. Was that all the servicemen came back to the States and they're like, man, we miss these tropical drinks and these tropical places and
place
and like that, you know.
And that's when it exploded.
So they brought that back and that's how, you know, where tiki bars came, kind of popped up and became real popular. So it's kind of the same story. I put the same story with the Coast Watchers Club. And so then I talk about how the newest one is in Daphne, Alabama. And I also mentioned that Mobile has a rich naval history because Admiral Farragut, and this is for everybody that's not Mobile, because everybody in Mobile, they're like, oh, yeah, everybody knows that. But Admiral Farragut of the Union Navy, he was the one that coined the phrase, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, in Mobile Bay during the battle.
During the Battle of Mobile Bay, right.
That was where, you know, so that's the kind of the backstory of the Coast Watchers Club. And then, so I started decorating it, and then... So I talked about the pith helmet. I actually turned the pith helmet into a light, like a tiki light. So I have a color-changing light bulb in there. So I have it on green now. That's probably what I'll keep it on. And I kind of want to do the same thing with it kind of on that side of the bar, do a couple of different lights. And then the last thing is, like, kind of my favorite thing is I had an uncle of mine that passed away a while ago, and he was in a band called Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And so I got it. I don't buy a lot of the geeky tiki kind of mugs, although I do have some Star Wars ones because I love Star Wars. I did buy the Doctor Strange one. It's kind of like a homage to him, like, you know, in his band. So
yeah,
of all those, that's kind of one of my favorite mugs. Yeah, but that's pretty much the story of the Coast Watchers Club. And so kind of the newest thing that I've done down here is I've put together a signature drink. And that's going to be – so I'm kind of taking over Trader Roy's end of the bar this week.
I'll allow it.
And we're going to make
– hey, man, I'm notoriously lazy. So, you know, if you want to do the cocktails every once in a while, have at it. I'm happy to drink them.
Yeah, and so I guess we're going to call this like Hobie's – other side of the bar. And so my favorite, like I mentioned last episode, my favorite cocktail is the Navy Grog. And so I started with that as kind of a base. What I did though is I took out all the rums.
Wait, what? Record scratch.
What? And then I added the rums, kind of it kind of paid a little homage to where we live or what experiences I've had. And so I put in John Emerald Spice rum, which is made here in Central Alabama.
Yeah, Opelika.
Opelika, yeah. Then I put in OFTD, which is kind of most of the guys that had collaboration on that are like the bartenders that I follow on Instagram and stuff like that. So OFTD is, I love that. It's a high ABV rum. And then when Plantation came out with Isle of Fiji, that's become one of my favorite rums. And so I actually have the most 2 ounces of that in there. And that was the kind of base of, or the Navy Grog.
That's your rum blend, yeah.
Yeah, the rum blend. And so that's the Navy Grog part of it. And then to make it a Coast Watchers Grog, I wanted to add a little bit of flavor. And so there's a drink at Star Wars Land. This is kind of weird. But it's called a Tatooine Sunset. And the blend of it, it's like, it's basically iced tea, lemonade, but then they put blueberry and melon flavor together.
Okay.
And so I love that combination. I was like, well, let me see if that combination works with a Navy Grog. And I put it in, and it works. And I even did some research and typed in, okay, what's a good cocktail combination with blueberry? And every time it came up, it said melon.
Melon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like honeydew melon?
Yeah, honeydew melon. Okay. Yeah. And so me and a friend of mine, John Russo, he came over, and he's a bartender at the Golf in Orange Beach, if anybody knows that place. So he came over and we got hammered one night and pretty much trying to, master this cocktail.
Yeah. We call those R&D sessions.
R&D, yeah. Definitely. We had an R&D session, and it was fun, and we both enjoy what we came out with.
Yeah, so I guess to recap, we got Plantation Isle of Fiji rum, Plantation OFTD honeydew melon syrup.
Yeah, there's just a dash of that.
Yeah.
And then, so John Emerald Spice
rum. John Emerald Spice rum.
Just a quarter ounce of that.
Yeah.
1 ounce of the OFTD, and then 2 ounces of Isle of Fiji. 1 ounce each of honey syrup, grapefruit juice, and lime juice, which is, kind of your Navy Grog. And then a quarter ounce of blueberry, I think I said. So.
Yep. That's really good. Like I said, when you made it, I would definitely be not dissatisfied at all if I ordered this at a cocktail bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be very happy.
That's a huge compliment for somebody.
Well, anytime, this has nothing specifically to do with you, but, you go to somebody's house and get cocktails, a lot of times you're out of balance or whatever.
Yeah.
Overly sweet, overly boozy, overly tart. This is very well balanced. This is good.
You hear that, Johnny? That R&D session, it worked, buddy.
Yeah.
By sound of the empty glass, that's it for this episode. We'd like to thank Spike and the Hula Girls for providing music for our show. Make sure you go listen to their music and watch Spike on his YouTube channel, where he has Spike's Breezeway Cocktail Hour. It's a great show where he hosts and shows you how to make different kinky cocktails each week, usually poured into the different glasses that they were served from in the 50s and 60s, and also has great guests on the show. We'd also like to thank Matt Faulkner with Nutria Rodeo for helping us out with the podcast artwork. Check out his t-shirts at thenutriarodeo.com. Be sure to follow our podcast and leave a review. That will help us get to other listeners. Visit our website at coastwatchersclub.com, where we will soon be posting some pictures from trips we have taken to tiki bars recently, and for a post about our launch party that we had here in Mobile at the Haberdasher. And on that note, we'd like to thank all of our friends and listeners that came out today. Give us a like on Instagram at Coast Watchers Club. And if you're interested in sponsorship of the podcast, send us an email to info@coastwatchersclub.com. Again, that's info@coastwatchersclub.com. Well, Roy, see you next time.
Mahalo, y'all.